Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big.
There's something frightfully chilling going on in Otley Town. Book yourself onto the Otley Ghost Tour and embrace the miserable history of Otley in Leeds. A seemingly quiet, quaint, historic market town settled neath the looming gates of the ancient Chevin. Learn about the small town eccentrics who once upon a time hobbled over the cobbles, and find out about the phantom characters who still persist today. Your ghoulish guides will regale you with tales of bygone days, and you will finish the evening with an optional free drink in one of Otley's most haunted brew houses. Dear listeners, if you fancy yourself a deliciously dark evening in Otley, I'll let you into a little secret. I have formed a deal with the ghost leader, Spindleshanks McScrew, and you will receive a free gift if you repeat this quote prior to your tour. Ooly booly, let's get ghouly. Have a grisly good time, witches. Witches and beautiful souls, we are almost at yet another Sabbat, which is Lunacy or Lammas, very, very shortly, in a few days as this airs. Today, though, as I'm editing, it is the 20th of July, which happens to be International Moon Day, as well as International Cake Day, National Fortune Cookie Day, National Ice Cream Soda Day, National Lollipop Day, Nap Day, Space Exploration Day, International Chess Day, National Get Out of the Doghouse Day, and Global Hug Your Kid Day. So definitely a day of celebration, no? This is a fabulous discussion today on the episode with Karen Kay, a fairyologer or a fairy whisperer, who you will know from the Fairy Oracles deck, along with other things. I was lucky enough to meet Karen at Manifest by Canny Crystals. Hi, Matt, if you're listening. Karen actually DM'd me after I'd commented on her post about Manifest, asking if I could come early and help her workshop by taking some pictures and some video so she could create a reel. And I was so honoured to have been asked. It really lightened my soul up. Oh, she was right, chuffed. So I were up and out of bed early and ready by her side to help her out. We were both quite fairy-esque. I mean, naturally, Karen was. But I had the ram horns and my witchy crown and stuff, and I was so layered up, and I really did look like I matched her in all the glamorous fairy ways. In this Mootloo episode, Karen shares some experiences that she has had with the fae, do's and don'ts of how to work with them, fairies portrayed in Hollywood, Cottingley fairies, and of course to celebrate her new upcoming oracle deck, which is called the Enchanted Realms Oracle, which is available right now to pre-order. And if you do, you get lots of lovely little bonuses, as she mentions in the interview. Oh, it was so fantastic. It was one of them that I kept thinking of stuff and I didn't really want it to end, so I kept her way longer than 1 hour. I could have spoke to her forever and ever. She's not a witch, she is a fairy whisperer, but it just seems so witchy to me. But witchcraft is a spirituality and not a religion, and so is paganism. Wicca is the religion, and I think a lot of people get confused by this quite often because they are very close-knit, which is absolutely fine. I just wanted to make sure it was understood.
Don't want any fake news out there, do we?
It was a bit of a strange recording, this. I mean, I've done 3 years of editing now, and there were a lot of weird little noises in the background, and I'm going to play you some now to see what you think. You can tell when it's people taking a gasp when they're about to talk. However, if you listen really carefully, you can hear kind of like a little beat. It could be the beat of wings. I think that's mad. I've been looking at it for ages because you can see the beats on the sound lines, you know, when I edit on audio. And I've just become way obsessed and I've spent too much time trying to turn it up and mess about with it. I thought it was worth putting on the intro just to see what you think. And it shouldn't be anybody's pulse or anything because we're just talking into like a regular mic. So I don't think it's that. Anywho, if you hang about till the end of this interview, there is a bonus meditation from the lovely Karen. It's so relaxing. I really enjoyed it. This was actually in the middle of the interview, and I thought it would be an absolute pleasure to put it at the end so you can get the most out of it, dear listener, and you can stay in that little vibe all day if you like and not get pulled out of it by my big gob continuing the interview. So that's it from me. Big thank you to Karen Kay for coming on this episode. Enjoy, my lovelies. Now then, listeners, welcome to another Moot Loot episode with me, Swales, the friendly green witch, and another fantastic magical witch with me today. We have Karen Kay, the fairy whisperer that I met back in Manifest 26.
Yay!
Hello, welcome.
Thank you so much. It was so lovely to meet you in person, and it's so lovely to speak to you again now. Thank you, Swales, for inviting me onto your magical witchy podcast.
Oh, it's brilliant to have you, and I'm feeling a little bit starstruck because I know your name and I've got your decks, and it's a big deal, is this?
Amazing. But you know me, like, we've met. We're like old friends now.
Witches hold each other up. I love it. So you're a professional fairy whisperer.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know, it sounds quite strange, doesn't it? It just has unfolded, really. I've been called many things. Fairy whisperer is the thing that I'm currently called, but I've been called things that I can't even dare or care to mention. But yeah, I connect with fairies. I've been like called a fairy or the fairy lady. In fact, I was called the fairy lady, and that happened when I was in a supermarket, and it happened twice. I was in a supermarket. I've always had like little sparkles in my hair, and I've always had a little bit of a, I suppose it's a quirky look, but to me, it's just my normal look. And I was wandering around the supermarket buying me hummus and whatnot, and I could hear somebody say, "Look, it's the fairy lady." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, there's a fairy lady." And I looked around, and this little girl was pointing at me, and she said, "Mummy, it's the fairy lady." And I thought, oh, it must be me. And I thought, oh, how sweet. And I carried on with my shopping, and I went there again, and another child on another occasion said, "Look, Mummy, it's the fairy lady." And I thought, there's must be something behind this. I think I'll adopt that. I quite like it. And then that evolved into the fairy whisperer after I'd been on This Morning TV. I think it was about the I've been on so many times, I'm always surprised when they invite me back on. But yeah, that's how the Fairy Whisperer name came about. And that's how the name of my book came about, Fairy Whispering, as well.
I went having a quick Google into who you are and what you do. And I found you used to be a news editor.
I know, right? It's so funny, isn't it? It's like, I feel like I am a walk-in to my own body. You get these walk-ins where people completely change overnight. But I have always been connected with fairies. And the reason that I ended up, I worked for the BBC as a news editor. And the reason I did that was because I've always had a passion that I wanted to spread love, light, joy, peace, happiness into the world. And I thought, what is the best way that I can do that? And I thought, I know, I'll get inside the box. And by the box, I'm referring to the TV, the radio. And to do that, I had to have training. So lots of, I call them metaphorical fairy doors, opened and I had contacts and ended up in this amazing job. After a lot of hard work, I did have to put myself through as a mature student for a postgraduate diploma in broadcast journalism, which was really hard. I was double the age of everyone there, and it was full of really lovely people, but a lot of them were just there because they'd been kind of pushed into it by their parents. But I absolutely loved studying, and I surprised myself really, because I was really passionate about doing it. And then I ended up with this job. I was offered a job at an independent radio station before I'd even left the course, and then ended up working at the BBC. And it wasn't as easy as what I thought it was going to be, like getting this love and light out. Occasionally I would get what you would call the fluffy story at the end of the news, where puppy rescued by... Occasionally I'd get those stories, but most of it was quite hard and heavy news, to be honest. And after a while it really took its toll with me, and I couldn't do it anymore. I just felt this kind of heaviness in my heart and in my soul, and thought, this isn't the environment for me. But I was also thinking, I put myself through years of study, and it was really expensive. There wasn't any support to do that. I was a single parent at the time as well. It was really hard, but I knew I couldn't go in. It was after the 9/11 incident that happened. I was on duty during that time, and it was the hardest thing to do. And the next day, I think, or a couple of days after, I woke up and I thought, I can't do this anymore. It isn't good for my soul. And I love all my colleagues. I'm still friends with them, but I couldn't be in that environment. So I obviously worked my notice, and then I just sat in this space. We might call it the empty-handed leap into the void rune. The blank rune, where you don't know what is going to happen, you don't know where you are, what's going to happen, but you know that you can't go back to what you were doing. So I was in this space for quite a while, and I was thinking, what am I going to do? I've got all of this knowledge, journalism knowledge, but what is my passion? What do I really want to share about? And I thought, it's fairies. And when I say fairies, it's not just fairies themselves, it's the fairies' connection to the environment, it's all of these things. I thought, okay, I'm going to start a little fanzine, and I started my Fae magazine, which stands for Fairies and Enchantment. It was a little fanzine, and then after a month or two, I was contacted by a distributor in America who wanted to sell it all over the world, and I'm like, wow, I wasn't expecting that. And it was just, things just started really flowing, and then I started my fairy events as well. And then I was offered a contract with Hay House to write a fairy deck. And everything, there are little bits of the story in between, but we'll be here forever and a day. And it just led to what I'm doing now. That's in answer to your question about how does one become a professional fairy whisperer. That is my journey.
You've always had a relationship with the fairies.
Yeah.
But I guess, was it more in the background of your daily living?
That's a good question. So yeah, I have always had a connection with the fairies that I remember from when I was a little girl in my grandmother's garden. And I've shared this story many times, just about, that's my first conscious recollection of the connection with the fairies. So she would be pruning her roses. She loved gardening. I would gather them up, pop them in a pot, stir them up with water and leave them out overnight for the fairies. And the next day I'd go check and it would always be gone. And so that to me was confirmation that my little offerings, my gifts were being received by the fairies. And then I would see them, perceive them as tiny points of light, which many of us get those little flickers in the corner of our eyes. I was seeing them all the time in lots of different colours. And again, that was just natural. I was so young. I think I was maybe 4 or 5 around that age. I was so young that my ego hadn't developed. So I wasn't questioning any of this. I was just accepting what was happening as natural or supernatural, if you like, and just accepting that this was a part of nature. It just was happening. Like, we often have make-believe friends, don't we, when we're younger. But these were real. They were real, and they are real, and they've never gone away. However, when I became a teenager and I got into my, some people, if you know me, you'll know this, but if you don't know me, it does surprise a lot of people. I was like a punk and a goth and really into this kind of tough image and fashion, but I've always been soft as slush inside, like always. But it was this image that I was projecting of being tough. And I didn't feel that the fairies fitted into that. And I also thought maybe there's something wrong with my eyes because I was seeing all these sparkling lights, but maybe there was something wrong with me. So I went to the opticians and I didn't say, hey, I think I'm seeing fairies. I just asked for an eye check and I had 20/20 vision, perfect vision. And that for me was my confirmation that what I was seeing was real, even though I knew intuitively and instinctively that it was real, that they weren't going anywhere. So I incorporated fairies into my world. So they became less background and more foreground in answer to your question. And so the way I did it then as a kind of teenager would to be like maybe wear black fairy wings or a black tutu or have a little wand and just be like a very fairy goth mother is what I was called. But it stayed with me. And if the person who I was then saw the person who I am now, I'd be like, no way, you're like a hippie fairy. What's going on? So I've gone complete full, I don't know, I've completely changed. Like the mirror is reflecting something completely different now.
Yeah, it's interesting how when things are meant to be for us, they never truly go away. We don't notice them as much. I think that about witchcraft. I came into witchcraft relatively late. Until I had my first kid, I wasn't spiritual at all, really. I were a goth as well, and I were annoyed at the stuff I'd been dealt in life, and I just wasn't open to it. But it were there because certain things happen, things you're into, cult films, and then my first baby was born on Yule. So it's like the universe just prods you going.
Yeah, nature is always calling, and I've been doing like, I remember when I was about 17, I was doing candle magic intuitively and little things like little spells, but I didn't really realise what I was doing at the time, but it was just very natural. And I feel like the path of witchcraft and the fairy path is very much intertwined because both connect and revere nature, and they can be allies, like a lot of witches do have fairy allies as well when they work with nature. So there is definitely a crossover, and witch is wise woman, isn't it? That's what a witch is. And I have many witchy friends, and I also did a witchy fae fairy ball once, so we could really embrace that union of both, and it was so much fun. I loved it so much.
You consider yourself a witch?
I don't label myself a witch. I think because it feels like you have a lot to live up to and a lot of expectations. I don't kind of go out and say, hey, I'm this. The only thing I say is I'm a fairy whisperer. And I think by proxy, that is connected with witchcraft. I think because the reason is because when I was younger, my father was very religious. And so my dad was religious. My stepmom was religious. And my mum is from Christianity as well. And my dad was from Judaism. My stepmom was a Catholic. And I made the decision at a very early age that I wasn't going to follow a religion, but I did believe in something more. I do believe in something more. So I've always been a little bit reticent to align with a particular label, although that sounds contradictory because I am calling myself a fairy whisperer, but that feels so out there. It's like I don't think there's a religion that is called fairy whispering. So I don't like to use labels, but I do align with witchcraft, and I do align with many different practices that people have. I also have a sway towards Buddhism as well, in the sense of just the peacefulness and not harming animals and aspects of it. But again, the rules, I've always been a bit of a rule breaker. I like to make my own rules and walk my own path. I do have lots of witchy allies and witchy friends.
It's all under the umbrella of paganism. It all goes hand in hand because I think the root of everything we do is the earth and looking after the energies and the elementals and the living beings that aren't necessarily always human.
Yes.
I need people like them in my life.
Yeah, definitely. And that is one thing that, you know, if I was actually forced to tick a box on a thing, I would say paganism because that feels the most in alignment. But again, I don't like rules and labels in that sense. So, yeah, but I would choose that if I absolutely had to.
Yeah, but you do magic as well with the fairies.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It is happening all the time. It's like natural magic. And I love it. I think that we are magical. The fact that we exist is a miracle. That's magic. And we have the ability to impact. I'm not really into controlling elements. I don't like to control things, but I definitely like to bring magical energy into what I do and just to show people that magic is real and that we are magical and we can have an impact on our lives and the lives of others with their permission. And I always say for the highest good of all, never going against anyone's free will, including our own. We're creating magic even in the most mundane ways as well. I'm sure there's a book called Mundane Magic. I'm sure I've heard that recently, where it's just everyday kind of magic that we do. We all, whether you're a witch, whether you're a pagan, whether you're not, whatever you are, most people will blow out a candle on their birthday. And that is wishcraft, isn't it? You're making a wish.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's incorporated into our lives, and a lot of the religions as well, they're actually making magic too, aren't they, with their incenses and the things that they're doing. It's just how it's interpreted and how it's perceived by others. And again, it's often the labels that cause the issues in these matters.
That book actually is by Molly Donlan, who is a Bellwitch guest who came on a couple of months ago.
Yay.
Celebrate a new book.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great book.
I'm going to read it because it stayed in my mind for a reason and in my heart. And I'm so happy that it's through you as well, because maybe that's where I heard it about it from.
We're all connected.
Yay.
So in terms of how accurate our idea of a fairy is, I know everybody knows a fairy in the mainstream persona as like Tinkerbell. Is that accurate, would you say?
So everybody's experience of fairy or fairies is different. It will be different for everybody. And I feel like fairies will present themselves in a way that you will best receive them, in the sense of if you are, Tinkerbell is a modern manifestation of what fairy is. It's the Disney version of fairy. But I actually love Tinkerbell. And Tinkerbell was one of the first tattoos I got on my shoulder. So I have a very fond connection to her. But she's just one of the expressions of what we perceive through art. And I think during the Victorian times, there was this very kind of whimsical perception of what fairies were, and the flower fairies. And Cicely Mary Barker, she was actually a devout Christian, but she drew fairies and she drew their plants. So she wasn't into it from the spiritual perspective, but she was definitely tuning into something. And her fairies, I love her fairies. They're also very twee. Now, not all fairies are twee. And I think yourself and many people listening, watching this now, will know that not all fairies are twee. And some fairies are mischievous and cheeky and playful. And then some are love light and twinkles. If you've got flowers in a field, for example, there's so many different flowers and they're all different and they're all beautiful and they're all valid in their own way. Now, if you're like a young child experiencing fairy for the first time, then you're more likely to have a gentle experience with a little bit of fairy dust and gossamer and a beautiful sensation of just gentleness and light and love. And that can happen with adults too. I experience them like that a lot myself. But I've also experienced the more shadier side of fairies when, and it doesn't mean bad, it just means that there's all of these elements. We need light and shade, dark and light. We need all of these things in our life to have that balance. And there was an occasion when I went to France a few years ago and I'd read a book, I don't know if it's called The Sun and the Serpent, I think that's what it was called, by Hamish Miller and Paul Broadhurst, where they douse the ley lines. And this ley line went from near where I live, St Michael's Mount, where it met, I think it's the Michael Mary line and the Apollo and Athena line, they all started there. And it went through this place in France called the Dolmen de la Fées. And when I saw it, I was like, the Stone of the Fairies, I literally have to go there. So I was with my partner at the time and we drove there in his van, and we went on the ferry and we drove for ages, it felt like, through southern France. And we eventually got to this place and it was nighttime. It was really dark. And then we arrived and flung open the doors and I went running towards this place, and then it was almost like there was a force field and I heard the loudest no that I've ever heard in my entire life. It's telepathically, no, I was not welcome. And my first instant reaction was, do you know who I am? Like, I've literally come all the way from the UK and I'm the fairy lady, I'm a fairy whisperer and I love you. And I can't believe that you don't want me to come in. But it was just a no. There was no further information or conversation. It was just no. And I said to my partner at the time, I said, look, we're not welcome tonight for whatever reason. And I glanced at the stones and I saw, it felt like hundreds of tiny green luminous eyes peering out from within the dolmen stone. And it wasn't scary, it was eerie, but it wasn't scary. And it felt like a sense of curiosity. So I knew that there was a presence there because it had told me no. And I felt like it was fairies, but it wasn't the type of fairies that I'd usually been encountering. So we went back to sleep in the van and we tried to get away from the place. This is another weird thing that happened. So I said, let's get away from here. We'll come back tomorrow morning. And we drove for about half an hour and we came back to the same place. And I was like, okay, let's go different direction. So we drove in a different direction and again, we came back to the same place. And I thought, okay, it was a bit freaky. It was like, do you remember The Twilight Zone? Maybe you do, or some of your listeners will know that program, The Twilight Zone, where really weird things like that would happen. And I was in The Twilight Zone.
I had to look that up then.
It was very bizarre. So I said, let's just go to sleep and see what happens in the morning. So we went to sleep. It was quite hard to sleep because all this weirdness happening. I was woken up at around 4 or 5 in the morning at dawn with a voice saying, you can come now. I thought, you're joking me. Do you know what time it is? And I thought, oh no. And I tried to go back to sleep and you can't. Once you've had that calling, that otherworldly fairy calling, it's like you can't ignore it. And I said to my partner, like, we need to go now, like we're being invited. And he was like, okay. And so he was really open to all of this. So we got out the van, we walked towards the place and it felt like a completely different place. It was warm, it was open, it was welcoming. As we approached the Dolmen Stones, it was like there'd been evidence of a fire there and there were a few little broken bottles and things, and it looked like the place wasn't being really respected. So we went inside the stone and I meditated and I asked, why did you not want me to come in yesterday? And the message that I got back was that because there had been people in the area, they were teenagers who weren't being respectful of the space. And also they gave me this analogy, which is like, if somebody knocks on your door in the middle of the night and you don't know them, are you just going to welcome them in? You're probably not. You're going to check them out first. Who is this person? What are they all about? And so that put it into perspective for me and it made sense. And since then, it's had a really powerful impact with me. I'm always respectful of any sacred space. I actually feel like everywhere is sacred wherever we place our feet, but some places are associated with more sacredness. So whenever I go there, I'm extra, I kind of double triple check in with myself, the energy, if I'm really welcome there, because some places are not meant for humans. But we spent the rest of the day inside the stone and I was channeling music and we wrote a song together, and it was just we spent the whole day there in the end, and it was just a real contrast from the night before. And I think that was a really good warning. It was a warning, like, don't just expect, it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, you have to go through the kind of security, fairy security checks.
That is a fantastic story. It didn't go at all where I thought it was going to go.
Oh, really? What did you think was going to happen?
Like, you were going to go in there and be welcomed and see stuff straight away, but no, the fairies asked you to wait and for them to recoup and maybe do a bit of a Google search on you.
Yeah, that's definitely what they were doing, an ethereal Google search. And also when I saw the tiny green eyes as well, it's that wasn't what I was expecting to see. So in answer to your kind of original question about fairies will present however they wish to present, they are guardians of nature. They are also magical beings. So they can present in any way that they wish. And if there's a way that they can look that will get your attention, then they'll appear to you in that way because they can manifest like that.
That is so interesting. I must admit, I was struggling with the concept as like a fairy as it is in mainstream Hollywood. Do I think there's tiny little people in my garden? No, I don't. But then I accept dragons, I accept like elementals, I accept that there's somebody whose job it is to look after trees and warn people off. And when we do the tooth fairy in our house, which is a big deal in our house, we swap the coin and we lose the teeth. We don't bin them because we're not going to be like, I'm going to bin this tooth. Me and my husband go, we're going to keep these teeth. Where are they? I can never find them in the house. I've only got one tooth that I made an effort to say, look, I want to keep this tooth. And it's in my travel altar, so it comes with me. And that's the only one I've got. Like, where are they?
That's a really interesting point. Obviously, the tooth fairy has them.
Obviously.
But I did the same. I kept all of my children's teeth. And I haven't got a clue where they are.
How weird.
Really good and weird point. Yeah. So elementals and fairies are all connected as well because you get different types of fairy. So you'd have the sylphs, which are the element fairies of the air element. And then the people say salamanders. You can also say fire sprites and fire fairies would be of the fiery element. And then gnomes and dryads of the earth element. What have I missed out? I've missed out something. Earth, air, fire, water.
Water.
My favourite element ever. Merfairies, naiads, undines, water fairies, water sprites, ad infinitum. I know I shouldn't have a... I love all the elements, but water is my kind of... I love it. Yeah.
This segues very nice into the reason why we're here, because we are to celebrate your new Oracle deck, which is a collection of all of the enchanted realms.
Yes. I'm so glad you reminded me because I totally forgot. So this is my deck.
We're here.
I love it. And on the cover is a fairy that is holding a glimmer. It's a glimmer of hope and it is for anybody that views her. So even if you don't buy the deck or you do buy the deck, if you see the cover, you're getting that glimmer of hope, which I feel like we all need so much at the moment. We always do, but especially this very interesting world that we live in. So that glimmer of hope, and hope is something that we can all have. It's totally free and it is really needed. So I'm just automatically shuffling the cards. I'm going to actually pull a card, if that's all right, with us all and see what comes out. So yeah, this deck, the Enchanted Realms Oracle deck, one just flipped out there. Oh, that's lovely. We got the unicorn. My whole body, I've got some people say the tingles or goosebumps or angel bumps. I call it the fairy fizzies. And I just, as this card came out, I got the fairy fizzies, and it's the card of the unicorn, which is a very gentle energy. And it's interesting with unicorns because they can be associated with the angelic and heavenly, but they're also very synonymous with fairyland. And many kind of art pieces do have unicorns in there with fairies, and they come in with just a really gentle, pure, innocent energy. And a lot of people might think, I'm not really innocent, but we all are born with innocence. And it's going back to that purity of heart. And all it means is just being very real. And purity doesn't mean holier than thou. It doesn't mean that. It just means to be authentically you and truly you and purely you. And so the unicorn comes in with that energy for us, and it just stands there very, it's a very powerful being. It's powerful in its gentleness. So its gentleness is its strength. And it means that it can be flexible. It doesn't stand there in a stubborn way. It can be flexible. It can just move gently out of the way and still stand in its strength. So sometimes we feel like we have to be rigid in our strength and in our power, but we, if we move, a little bit like the energy of Tai Chi where it flows, or the energy of a tree where when the wind blows, it just blows with the breeze and it still stands in most cases, apart from the crazy storms we have here in the UK. But generally that energy just comes in as a flowing, gentle, peaceful energy. And that's for the collective, whoever's listening, whenever you're listening, now or in the future, this card is a reminder for you. And it's just one of many different creatures. So we've got pixies. There's symbols in there as well, like the golden key is like that key to our dreams. There are hidden beings. There's a fawn fairy, which is connected with the deer. There's a labyrinth, cobweb fairy, gnomes, flower fairies, of course, and the Gillydoo. Have you heard of the Gillydoo? It's the green man of Scotland. It's associated with Scotland. Now, have you ever heard of the Gilly suits? They're suits made of leaves, full camouflage army wear. And I only realised that connection when I was researching into the Gillydoo, which is, I don't know how often this fellow makes an appearance in the world, really. How often? I know in Scotland he's very known. So, but he is a green man. And even though we're using the term or the label the Gillydoo, he represents all green men and all green women everywhere. It's like that nature, the spirit of nature, basically, who can be like a wise elder figure of the land that will nurture and guide us, or somebody that will reprimand us if we're mistreating the land, like people that are deforesting and chopping down trees and putting pollution in the river. Just a guardian, a real strong guardian, and also a guide that can either help to get us lost in the fairy in the woods with the pixies, or to help us guide our way through. That's just a small example. Like, there are 44 different cards in the deck. I couldn't cover every single magical creature because there are way more than that, but it's been really lovely, and there are goblins in there too. There's so many, and it's just really been lovely to bring these beings out into the world, because usually when people ask me, it's like I don't have time to talk about it, because you can just go on forever because there are so many different types of creature within the fairy realm. So it's been a really wonderful project, and the artist Katrina Coltez is incredible. She is also a fairy whisperer. There are many. I'm definitely not the only one. I think a lot of people whisper with fairies, and it's just, if you feel that's your calling to share that in a wider way, then great. And if you don't, that's fine too. It doesn't, I don't see myself as anything special. It's just, this is just what I'm doing. She's a fairy whisperer. She is Katrina Coltez, another KK, Karen K, Katrina Coltez.
Yeah.
Initial K is the 11th letter in the alphabet. So I am 1111. That's my initial. She is 1111. So we're a double portal. There is an 1111 card in the deck as well, which is the portal. So there's lots of little symbolisms. And also, I love tarot. So these are not, it's not a tarot deck, it's an oracle deck, but you will find some of the tarot symbolism within some of the cards. There's lots of detail in there. And if you notice, it'll be like, aha, that makes sense.
Oh my god, there's so much synchronicities, because I love 1111. It's a massive part of my life. I had Reiki and massage this morning from a friend, Angela Booth at the Crystal Booth, and I got my Reiki horse, because I have this Reiki horse in the field of my mind when I meditate and stuff. And he was a unicorn this morning, so...
Oh, wow. I love it. Like, the synchronicities, the way everything flows, that's so beautiful. Yeah, 1111 has always been some... I know lots of people pick up on that. I didn't know till about 4 years ago that's what my initials added up to. And then it was like, oh, my gosh, I am the portal. Like, I am that. And it's... I like that a lot. And then to meet another Katrina Coltez, who's another 1111, and work with her on the deck... You just know that extra magic is going to happen. Her art is just another level. It's incredible.
Did you work with this artist before on your previous decks?
No.
So different,
yeah. I've worked with different artists on each deck. So the first deck, I worked with a lady called Ginger Kelly. She isn't doing artwork anymore. She was a mixed media artist. So it was very... That's my first deck, the Oracle of the Fairies, which is... Well, when did it come out? Was it 2017 or 20? I can't remember. Maybe it was 2019. I can't remember. Time has just gone. Woo. But that is an international bestseller. It's been published in so many different languages, and it's still selling really well now. And that's like my first fairy baby, if you like. And then I did the Messages from the Mermaid's Oracle deck, which was 2020, I think that came out. But that was being written during a really challenging time of my life, and it was also, it coincided with the lockdown, so I would take my daily walks or little mini drives down to the beach and just have the whole beach to myself, meditate and receive these messages from the mermaids and the ocean energy. So that deck is very different because it goes really into the heart, and it's a navigation system to whatever you're going through, whatever challenges, the cards, the deck will lead you into, with hope, into a brighter, lighter place. And it literally helped me get through a lot of heavy stuff, really. And then came manifesting with the fairies, which is how we can manifest with the fairies, which is not just material things. Yes, we can manifest with the fairies for material things because we are material beings living on a material earth and we need things. But it's also to manifest things like hope, joy, happiness, love, peace, tranquility, whatever it might be. We can work with them to do that. We don't have to work with them to do that. But when we do, it brings in an extra element of magic and it's just a fun thing to do. And then I had the miniature version of my Oracle of Fairies come, the fairy sized pocket deck that came out.
Got that. Yay. I've got that. I've just said I've got it.
Oh, yay. I always have that in my pocket. Not my pocket, in my bag. I always have them with me because they're just super easy to carry around. And now my forthcoming Enchanted Realms Oracle deck, which I am so excited about. I can't wait. And that is released on the, when do they officially come out? On the 25th of August. But I'm doing a special launch at my Three Wishes Fairy Festival, where I'm doing an in-person card oracle activation and launch party, fairy tea party, and everyone will be dressed up in there anyway. So it's going to be so much fun. And then for people that can't get to that, if you pre-order the deck, I'm doing an online card activation with online fairy tea party too. So everybody is welcome to that. It will be so much fun. I can't wait. It's not long to go as well.
I know, yeah. Can we find out about all that on your website?
So everything's on my website, karenk.co.uk. There'll be a link. And if you do pre-order, there's pre-order links, and then you put your order number in and then you'll receive a Zoom link for the online party, and you'll also receive a 50% discount code to the festival if you're coming to be a part of the activation. And that's the whole festival if you want to come to. So there, yeah, lots of exciting things. And I'll be doing more bonuses nearer the time as well.
Oh, yay. So much going on. It's so good. It's funny you were mentioning lockdown and the Mermaid's deck, which I don't have, but I've had in my possession at one point. I think somebody might have lent me it. But what did the Fae think about that weird time, 2020 year? Did they relish it because we were all connecting with the earth and being really human and being really pagan?
My understanding of when I connected in with them about it, they loved it because you had the traffic flow just stopped. It slowed right down, didn't it? Because not many people were driving. There were less flights in the sky. So the air pollution, the nature pollution was a lot less. They were very happy. There were people in nature, but a lot more people were just more connected, like you say, like in a heart way. And all they really want is us to respect and love nature as much as they do and be human guardians of the land, because as they're etheric beings, they don't have the physicality to do the things that we can do. So they love the fact that we can be physical and we can pick up litter and we can swap out the chemical products at home for natural products. So yeah, I did digress a little bit there. I always get on my little bit of my soapbox with nature.
That's fine.
The environmental side of things is super important, which is I think why my connection with fairies is so strong, because they are the guardians of the land, or one of the guardians of the land that we connect to. So it's really important. But yeah, they loved the lockdown. They didn't love the reason for the lockdown, but they loved the fact that we all just stopped and we took time to be, because we didn't really have a choice to do anything else. It was like an enforced beingness, which I personally loved.
Yeah. It's funny because I kind of know, like I feel it in my bones. Gaia had a little holiday and things reverted back to a little glimpse of a tiny little bit of how it might have been once the birds really close to us. And I remember standing in the middle of the road for an hour, just looking at the perspective of the crossroads where I live. Could never do that. So I was just like, wow, I can stand in these crossroads like a proper badass witch and not get run over.
Yeah, it's so amazing, isn't it? Like how it, even though it wasn't, I know, and I, my heart and thoughts and prayers go out to the people who were really affected and some lost their lives. We can't ignore that side of it, but that was just an unfortunate thing. But there were also blessings within that. And I always try and find the positive and the blessings within anything in life. And even the stuff that doesn't seem so great, there will always be a blessing in there somewhere. And that's something that I also really learned from the mermaid energy as well, is like just being grateful, having this attitude of gratitude. And when I wake up in the morning, counting my blessings, Just the fact that we've woken up is a beautiful blessing that some people take for granted and they're not aware. And the more we are open to these blessings, the more they will come.
Attitude of gratitude. I love that. Write down, quick write down. I do like the idea of working with fairies. Have you got any do's and don'ts for working with them safely?
Okay, so I always say with any type of spiritual work, always do your grounding and your spiritual or psychic protection. And that is, I equate that to when you get in a car, you will put on your seatbelt. You probably won't need it, but you might need it. And so it's like a metaphorical seatbelt, this psychic protection. So you're going into this uncharted territory, especially with the fairies, because it's not an exact science. The fairy path is not for everybody because it's very unpredictable. And the other thing I say is it's topsy-turvy, it's inside out, it's upside down, it's back to front, it's betwixt and between. So if you want an exact science, then maybe the fairy path isn't for you. But if you want to have a bit more magic and spontaneity and joy and giggles and just a fun, exciting time, which really appeals to that inner goth, that inner punk, which has never gone away, that will always be a part of me, this path is great. I love it. And it's mostly fun. We do sometimes get brambles caught in our knickers, and that's fine as well. It's like a little reminder, have a bit of respect. It's happened to us all. It happens to me nearly every time I go out. Like the brambles would just manage to grab me somehow. I find quite amusing. So do be respectful. Do honour the land. Do show your love and care for the land by, for example, picking up litter or doing something positive for the environment to show the fairies that you care. Whether you can see them or know that they're there or not, they are there and they are scanning us. They're observing our energy. So if you're showing that same love and care that they have, then that will give you a brownie point. Excuse the pun. There's also a brownie in my deck as well. So that's one thing, to be really respectful. I would just say don't be disrespectful. And there are many books and people out there saying different things about connecting with fairies. But my belief, and from my experience, is go by your own feeling and your own experience. And the one thing is, we do not worship fairies. We're not worshipping them. We're respecting them, as I would respect you or anybody else that I meet, this automatic respect. So we don't put them on a pedestal. We honour them for the work that they're doing and connect with them. They're different beings from a different dimension, but we don't need to worship them because of that. So we just respect them. And you can form a fairy friendship. Do it from your intuition, do it from your heart, and also do it from the present moment, because that is where the fairies reside. They're not in the past, they're not in the future, they're in the now. So when we can bring ourselves into the now, that's where we can meet them and connect with them, and just go by your feelings. I personally believe it's fine to say thank you to the fairies. Some people say, oh, never say thank you. Some people say, never give them your name. They know my name. I don't mind that. Some people say, never step into a fairy ring. If you see a fairy ring, I'm like, just jump in with 2 feet if it feels right. But it has to be a personal decision. You have to make that decision from a place of sovereignty and from your own free will, always. So don't always do what you're told. They will be very bossy sometimes. They are with me. They'll give me messages and inspirations. And some things I think, yeah, I'll do that. Because they get excited when there's a human that is receptive to them, that can hear them, that can perceive them. So, but always, you don't have to do what the voices in your head tell you to do. We have free will. And I think that's really important to remember. I can give you a little example of how we can do a little meditation to connect with fairies. Or if you're able to get out into nature, that's always the best. But not everybody is able to.
I'm going to put this meditation at the end of this episode so you can enjoy it afterwards. You don't have to come back into the podcast. I think that way you'll get the best benefit from it. It really is a beautiful meditation. I, of course, did it at the time, and then it took me a little while to get back into host mode. So lovely.
It's hard to come back sometimes. I thought I was going to do something completely different then. I've never done that before. So I love just being present and just allowing what wants to come through. And that meditation, you can make up your own meditations, because fairies are really of the imagination and they're very imaginative. and creative and beautiful and magical. So when we do that, we can connect with them more. And when we're open to that, it forms a really beautiful gateway. And then after this meditation, you might find that you become inspired to do certain things, maybe buy a plant or go out into the garden or create something, paint something, sing something, write something. Inspiration is very likely to come, and it could be through dreams as well. So just be receptive to that over the coming days.
It'll all swish you now.
Yeah, and me. That's where the term away with the fairies comes from, and airy fairy, because we're like, la, 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 la.
Got to continue being a host. I'm going to lay down now, I guess. As I'm a Yorkshire witch, I just wanted to quickly ask you about the Cottonley fairies, because they're probably the most famous fairies set in reality. Yeah. What's your take on them?
I was very fortunate and blessed to have interviewed one of the daughter of, the names, I always get confused with the names, because Frances Griffith, was she one of the little girls? Daughter. And it's confusing because when we think of the Cottonley fairies, we think of them as little girls, and the lady I interviewed was almost 100, but she was the daughter of those girls, because we recently celebrated or recognised the 100th year anniversary of the Cottonley fairies, the most famous fairies that we've ever really encountered. So they did admit that many of the photographs were fake photos that they had created as their interpretation of what they had seen, what they had witnessed. And the daughter that I spoke to said that they claimed until their dying day that one of the photos, the fifth photo, was real. And that was just what she told me. My feeling is that they did see fairies. The photos that we see are not necessarily those fairies that they saw, but they were their interpretation of it. And at the time, were good enough to fool the world and some of the greatest minds. I think because many of us really wanted to believe in it or know that they're there, and we wanted that proof. People always want proof, but the proof is in our heart. The proof is in our feeling, how we feel when we experience something. So I believe that they were real, but the photos were not necessarily real. Perhaps the fifth one was. That's my take on it.
Yeah, there is one photo that makes me go, ooh, I feel a bit weird about this one. I've listened to many a podcast discussing it, because it's really close to where I live. And there's a Cottonley crematorium, which is where my family go when they die. So I have got a connection, and I do mean to go there with my girls, my two girls, and see if we can connect. It isn't just a case of it's pretend. It isn't. There's more to it than that. The whole world felt it at the time, and a lot of us still continue to feel it. But in one of the interviews, they were saying these children at the time, they created what we recognise as fairies today. Before then, they were a bit insecty and a bit ambiguous, and they cemented our understanding of fairies in the 21st century. Yeah. And that is huge, man. Yeah.
And also just speaking about the kind of insectoid type of fairies. So fairies can manifest as, I've perceived fairies in faces. They come out as faces, and one of the cards in my deck is hidden beings. So you might be wandering past a tree and you'll see it, and it could be a dryad or a fairy just hiding out in the tree or in the leaf, like a gnarly little leaf on the floor or a twig. And it just looks like not human, human-esque, or it's got features. And you think that fairies can manifest in that way because they are of the earth. They're not separate from the earth. They're part of nature, as are we as well. And also, it just reminded me, when I went to Scotland for my birthday, I think it was last year, I've lost track of time, my sons took me and we went to the fairy pools, the Scottish Highlands, and visited Slagachen River, which is the river of eternal youth. And yes, I did splash my face with the water. It was really funny. I'll just digress a little bit. So we were in a very small coach tour bus, only a few people. And when we stopped at this Slagachen River of eternal youth that's granted by the fairy of the river, somebody right at the back pushed through everybody, stuck their head in the water. And my son says, are you going to do that, Mum? I'm like, no, I didn't want makeup to come off because I had the whole day to go. So I just gently kind of splashed my face with the water, but I'll definitely go back. But on that journey, I remember there was, the heather hadn't come out yet, but there was yellow gorse everywhere. And it was just going on forever. I love the Scottish Highlands. I love Scotland. And I remember doing a double take because I saw gorse fairies and they were like,
oh, Second place.
They're just not my fairy whispery book off. I was trying to do the shape, like they were really odd shapes and they didn't look like all the other gorse, and it was like they were trying to run away or dance or draw my attention. And I thought, oh, I had no idea that, of course there'll be gorse fairies, but I didn't expect to see them. And that's like a gift that I wasn't expecting to experience when I was there as well, the gorse fairies. And did you know, just as a little sideline, that the gorse flowers smell like honey and they're edible. So they're very sweet and very beautiful, but the actual spiky bits, I wouldn't advise eating them. But the little yellow sweet flowers, you can definitely eat, they're edible. But always check with a qualified person.
Yeah, disclaimer.
Yeah, disclaimer, always.
And they don't, fairies don't have to be tiny either. I remember the realisation that fairies can be our size, and that blew my mind.
Oh, gosh. I don't know why you've said that, but that brings me to something else that happened when I was perceiving a fairy. So I was, and it blew my mind too. So I was driving along the A30, which is the last kind of A road near where I live. I'd just come back from the supermarket. No, I wasn't drinking. I wasn't intoxicated. I was just my normal everyday self. And out of the corner of my eye, I was just drawn, and this happened really slowly, but really fast as well, because I was driving. I literally just glanced and I saw these giant legs, really giant. And my eyes slowly went up and I came to the knees that were at the top of this big tree. And as I looked further, it looked like a kind of typical type of flower fairy, really, just a giant human being. I'm talking super tall, bigger than a tree. And I was like, what the was that? What did I just witness? What did I observe? And remember, it happened in a fairy flash, but also in slow motion. I got home and I was like, okay, tell me what's going on. And I tuned in, I meditated. And what I got back was that the fairy beings, the spirits that are with the nature, with the trees, with the flowers, the plants, everything, will be the size energetically of the thing that they are the guardian of. Therefore, if it's a tree that's a giant tree, then that spirit being will be as big as the tree. Because I'd always thought fairies were like tiny. I just hadn't really thought about it until I saw a gigantic one as big as a tree. Yeah, you're right. They're energy, so they can expand and withdraw and change and appear how they want. But yeah, they're not all necessarily tiny. They can be as big as us or even bigger. And also, there's several stories about human DNA being mixed with fairy DNA when people talk about the little people. So they were supposedly an actual human race, or not human, a fairy race as well, that did merge and mate with humans. And I feel like I have human DNA. I'm a fairy and I'm saying I think I have human DNA in me. Whoopsie. I think I have fairy DNA in me. I feel like I know that I do. I will say I'm half fairy, half mermaid and half human. That is three halves. Maths is not my forte, but fairies and mermaids and being human is my forte. So yeah.
33.33%.
Yes.
I love it. It's an amazing conversation. And a lot of what you're saying, just, it feels right. It's in my bones. Like, it's down there. I need to connect with it. And there's so many synchronicities to this conversation. I'm aware we've nearly done an hour, but I quickly want to ask you, when we met in person at Manifest and you were talking about fairy dolls that you mentioned on air and how that opened a right can of worms.
Whoopsie.
I don't know if you could tell us about that, because it is so comical.
Oh, so a door is a portal. It can be a portal from the front room into the bathroom or the front room into the hallway. A fairy door is a portal, and many people have them in their gardens. Some people have them in their homes, and that is an invitation, not only for the fairies, but for anything that wants to come through. So to protect that door, and my advice on TV was, I would advise you not to have a fairy door in your home. Just have it outside to start, because I have fairy doors in my home and my home is full of fairies. Like, whenever I have a reading, which isn't that often, it's usually with somebody that I don't know, and they'll be like, you're surrounded by fairies. It's, I know. Like, I've got a whole fairy, not just one or two. There are a lot. So unless you want that, and once they come through, it's really hard to entice them back out again. So just be mindful. It's not like never do it. You've got to go with what you feel, but just be aware that it is a portal. And once they come in, it can be very hard, almost impossible to get them out again. And you might not want to get them out. You might just think, I want fairies in my life all the time. And when they come and they know that they've got a friend in you, then they're very likely to stay.
Did you get a lot of complaints from mothers who had bought fairy dolls for their kids? What am I supposed to do now?
So I got a few complaints from fairy door makers.
Oh.
In retrospect, I can really understand why. I wasn't, certainly my intention wasn't to put anyone out of business. It was just to simply say, it's wisest not to put them in your home unless you really know what you're doing, what you're letting yourself in for. But by all means, put them in your garden. In my fairy whispering book, I talk about creating a fairy garden, putting fairy doors and little welcome sign. Everything's moving here. I don't know if you can hear it, but I don't know what's going on. I think fairies are getting very
fairies.
Fairies. I'll just blame the fairies, not my clumsiness at all.
I have two fairy dolls in my house. There's one in my kid's bedroom.
Yeah.
And there's a Christmas one that comes out every year to go underneath the tree. That has got to come out every year. I can't not have it out every year.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't ever tell anybody what not to do, just to be mindful that you are welcoming them in. It is a portal. And most people be like, yay, the more the merrier, come in. Just be aware that things might start going missing or moving around or lots of fun and frolics and games might start to happen. Who knows?
I lose loads of stuff in my house. Stuff goes all the time. And that's why, because I've got two dolls.
I had a fairy key necklace that was created by someone with the initials of KK. We're going back 15, maybe 20 years ago. And it wasn't real. It was gold, but it wasn't real gold. But it was my fairy necklace that I always wore when I do anything to do with fairies. And it went missing for 4 years. And I knew it was here. I absolutely knew it was here. And then I had a friend here and she was in the bathroom. And suddenly I just had this vision of the key in the pocket of this. I've got this sparkly backpack and I'd looked in this pocket. I'd looked everywhere. 4 years I was looking for this key and I just had this vision and I thought, why am I seeing that? And I thought, Karen, it's there. Go check now. Go check now. And I looked, I opened it and there was the key on the chain. And then I could hear these and feel, got fairy fizzies again. I could hear these little giggles and cheering. And they'd always said to me, because I was like, I need the fairy key. And they said, you'll get it when it's the right time for you to get it back. But they were simply borrowing it. That's where the word borrowers come from, isn't it? Probably. They just borrow things. They love sparkly things. I love sparkly things. So my home is like a treasure trove for them. Sparkles everywhere.
I love the film as well, like the old school 90s borrowers films.
Yeah. Oh, I love all the 80s fantasy films and I love all the fairy tale films. Labyrinth is one of my favourites and it's the 40th anniversary of Labyrinth this year. So we'll be paying homage to not just that movie, but all of the 80s fantasy movies at my festival next month. And Brian and Wendy Froud are coming too, who were the concept designers of the Labyrinth movie as well, and the Dark Crystal. So yeah, it's going to be really amazing to have them there to celebrate the 40th anniversary of that very special film.
I love Legend. I think Legend for me, that's probably how I know unicorns. Yeah. Is because how Legend portrays them, it's actually really spot on. Yeah. I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Is there any films that portray fairies particularly accurate that you can think of?
Oh my gosh.
That's a hard question.
Yeah, probably Labyrinth portrays the fairy that, there's one particular fairy in Labyrinth that is a bitey fairy, and Hoggle, I think, is trying to flick it away. And I think he has a little insect spray as well. So I didn't really like that, but it was quite funny. It's like they bite, but maybe some fairies do. So that was quite an interesting description. Is it Fairy Tale, A True Story? I think it's that one that I really like, the way fairies are portrayed in that movie. And I feel like some of them do have gossamer wings and some of those wings are like symbolic of the energy that they can fly, the energetic kind of feeling of it. So, but I really, yeah, I love the fairies in that. I'll probably think of loads more once this conversation's ended.
My all time I think is Fern Gully. I think that one is fantastic. Yeah. Betrayal of fairies.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm just going to the fairy artwork, like Brian Froud's artwork. When I first experienced that many years ago, I saw his artwork and I thought, he is painting what I see. That is what a true fairy is. And his fairies, I'm not sure if you're familiar with his artwork or not, but his fairies are like really a bit gnarly or might be a bit gossamer, but they've got an edge to them. And how I perceive fairies, especially the back of his, he's got an oracle deck with his wife, Wendy. The back of the cards, there's all these, it looks like all the goblins and fairies are all squashed on the back. And that's how I see the forest floor or the woodland floor, like all these little faces. And yeah, I love his depiction of the fae, but it's personal to everybody how we perceive them. So I don't feel that there is a right or a wrong. It's just check in with yourself as to what is real and what isn't. And also, I just quickly want to say, I want to make a date with you to come and visit Cottingley Beck with you, and maybe we can do a little conversation there and some little reel and stuff. I've got fairy fizzes. I would absolutely love to visit there, and maybe you are my gateway to that. I would love to experience that with you.
Oh my God, Karen, yeah, that'd be fantastic. Wow, brilliant. So cool. When you work with them, is it always different, or do you have like a spokes fairy that is like your fairy to go to that represents?
Interesting. Yeah, very interesting question. I feel like, see, I also believe that fairies are a bit like bees and they have a kind of hive mind. So when you're connecting to one fairy, you're connecting to them all, wherever they are on in the world. I do feel like different fairy energies come forward. There are go-to fairy energies that are very familiar to me and are with me a lot, but I feel like it's usually a group, and different ones come in with different missions or different agendas. They do have agendas with me because they know I'm receptive, and very often if they plant or inspire an idea in my mind, then very often I will be the one to do it. So that's where all the fairy event, where the festival came from, where the fairy balls came from, these inspirations from the fae. So it's, yeah, I love it.
Nice. Oh, thank you so much for talking to me today. I'm aware I need to let you go, but I've had so many questions come to me while I've been studying. We'd definitely do another podcast episode, maybe about mermaids. Or if we go to Cottingley, we could do one about the Cottingley fairies.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to Cottingley. It's been on my wish list for so long to actually be there. And now I know that you're there, and it would just be really lovely to experience that with you. And I'm always happy to chat to you. This has gone super fast. And yeah, the mermaids is a whole other realm, isn't it, that we can chat about at some point. There is a mermaid in my deck and there are mer fairies in my deck. So my kind of trademark, if you like, there will always be a mer fairy somewhere in my work, because that is something that is very close to my heart, that energy.
Nice. Have you got one last thing you want to leave the episode with? Any advice?
The advice is, just be kind to nature, respect nature, pick up litter, the practical kind of mundane things of using environmental products in your home, get rid of all the chemical ones that harm the environment, and just reconnect to your inner child, because that is a really wonderful way of connecting. You can do that. You've got children. It's easier when you've got children around. When you haven't, I've managed to somehow retain that inner child. It is leading the way in my life, definitely. And the other thing is work, rest and fae. So always make sure you get the rest, you do the work, and then play or be fae. So let's just do a really super short meditation. If you get comfortable, feel your body on the chair or wherever you're sitting, and then take a deep breath in and close your eyes. And we're breathing in love, light, joy, peace and happiness. And as we breathe out, we're breathing out any cares or concerns that we might have. And then again, breathing in love, light, joy, peace and happiness. And then visualize yourself walking into a woodland area, and a huge bubble comes around you. This bubble is your bubble of protection, keeping you safe, protected and loved at all times. And as you walk, the bubble walks with you. It's surrounding you, and you see an ancient tree. And you walk towards the tree, and you ask in your heart or out loud for permission to approach the tree. As you approach the tree, you sit with your back against the trunk of the tree, and your feet firmly on the ground. And you visualize roots coming from your feet, going deep down into the earth, anchoring you to the earth, to our beautiful Mother Gaia. Feeling the strength of the tree along the back, along your spine. And the tree dryad is in the tree, and the arms of the dryad come out and hug you and hold you close to the tree, and you become one with the tree. And you feel the wisdom and the peace and the strength of the tree and how grounded the tree is. And then you become aware of some giggles and some shuffling around, and you see a group of gnomes forming a circle around you. These are earth elementals. And they also come in close. And they tell you that they can work with you to manifest your heartfelt wishes and dreams in this reality. So think of just one thing in this moment that you would like to bring about into your reality, and feel it as if it was happening right now in this moment. Feel that joy, that elation, that celebration. And then place your hands on the earth and put your energy into the earth. You sit in this space for a couple of moments. And then you become aware of your feet and your fingers, and you wriggle your fingers and toes, roll your shoulders, move your head from side to side. And then when you feel ready, slowly open your eyes and come back into this space.